everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week, we're talking about 1989's The Fly 2, as picked by me for reasons that are mostly just the last 10 minutes of the movie. But this week, we are joined by a good friend of the show. He joined us for the Clint Howard classic, The Ice Cream Man, many, many years ago, and he's back. Chris Fafios of the band Punchline, and also the host of the One Hit Thunder podcast that debuts this week. Woo!
Yay! We're going to have to make sure that we put in, like, clapping and, you know, like the
fucking
hell.
It's all edited in there. It's perfect. So, Chris, tell us a little bit about One Hit Thunder.
It's exciting because I get to talk about music with a lot of cool people, and that is one of my favorite things to talk about. I mean, I really like talking about movies like The Fly and Ice Cream Man, but, you know, music is kind of my thing that I like a whole lot. So it's been pretty cool making this new podcast.
And the first episode is going to be with your wife, and you're talking about Aqua Barbie Girl.
Yes, it was the most painful to research. I imagine it was the... I'm trying to think. It was probably the Ice Cream Man of One Hit Wonders. you know.
Why don't you explain the way that the show is set up?
Basically, we research... Matt, who produces the show, sends us a playlist of the artist's other music so we can dive in and decide whether the artist is truly... what we call one hit thunder, meaning, you know, they're pretty awesome, or if it was a one hit blunder and it was just some stroke of luck that they became huge, or if they deserved what they got, you know, because we have artists like Aqua that I'm not so sure, maybe in, I don't know, where were they from? Sweden?
Yeah, they were huge in Sweden.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. So maybe they did pay their dues and earn what they got. I don't know, but there's artists like we did an episode about Superdrag, who they're an amazing, long lasting band who just happened to have one song that got bigger than the rest, but they're actually like a long time awesome band who I was already a fan of. So, you know, we kind of get all over the place. I'm sure that we will really run the gamut over the course of this podcast of people that paid their dues and deserved it and did have one breakout hit, or, just, I don't know. You have the right said Freds of the world, things like that, I'm sure.
Do you ever find out who actually sucked out the feeling, or is that forever?
Yeah, I don't know. You're going to have to listen. We dive into that one.
I mean, we even tackle some controversial ones. Matt from the band Cassettes picked Rick Springfield, who is decidedly not a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, but... oh, yeah. True. But one mega hit he did have, but then he's got a legion of fans, and I was already a Rick Springfield fan going into it. Not as big a fan as Matt was when we did the episode, but yeah, Rick Springfield rules, man.
You know what's so funny is I actually saw Rick Springfield, and I was like the youngest man. Wow, I was like the only person in the audience who wasn't like a cougar.
I mean the dude is sexy, and he is also, he just writes what I compared his songs to, like, what if you were explaining to someone who never heard music before what rock and roll was. This is rock and roll. And it's straightforward but really catchy, and has every part of every song is just a hook after hook after hook. And the dude's like 70 and looks like he's 30, and he's just,
thanks, Botox.
Yeah, he's just awesome. He's just awesome all around.
The Fly 2, which so here's something that's interesting right out the gate. The director of this movie, I actually don't remember his name, but he was a special effects artist. So he did the special effects and he directed the movie, but he turned down Gremlins 2 to do Fly 2 because they were only asking him to do special effects for Gremlins 2, but this was his first attempt at directing. And I think it was his last attempt at directing as well. But, you know, he got that credit under his belt, which is huge. But obviously, no one wanted to come back for this movie from the original. You've got a fake ass Gina Davis kicking off the movie. Yep. Just showing up so she can die right in the beginning of the movie and give birth to Eric Stoltz, who has like a Jack disease, basically.
Yeah. Hey, guys, can I get a joke out of the way so we can just move on and it can stop buzzing around in my brain?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's not the joke. So Eric Stoltz was the original casting for Back to the Future. So and his character's name in this is Martin Brundle. So this is Martin Brundle McFly. Oh my God. It's Man. Stupider when I say it out loud.
Dude, I'm leaving the whole build up where you're like, I got to tell this one. I got to get this joke off my chest.
It was so bad, but I just couldn't stop.
Can I ask something? When I watched this, like Eric Stoltz, and then what's the actress's Daphne Zuniga? Is that
Princess Vespa?
Yeah, Princess Vespa from Spaceballs.
Oh my God!
Oh, okay. Because both of them, I'm watching this movie. I'm like, I know these people from something, but I have no idea what from.
Well, Eric Stoltz was Mask. So fun fact about Princess Vespa getting cast in this movie is that Mel Brooks was one of the producers and he vouched for her because she didn't have a lot of credentials and they were looking for a bigger name. And he's like, no, I just worked with this girl on Spaceballs. She's amazing. You should cast her as the romantic lead. And they're like, whatever you say, Mr. Brooks. And then
what a weird time.
She's not the downfall of this movie.
No, the movie is the downfall of this
exactly.
movie.
And I don't know. There's this weird thing where like, they're doing this thing where Martin ages rapidly because I guess the fly DNA aspect of it. But like, it seems like just a quick way for us to try to make us forget that he's supposed to be 6 years old throughout the entire movie because he just acts like a fully formed adult the entire time. And I feel like he should be a little bit more like Jack, where like he looks like a grown man, but he's just like, oh, gee willikers, and like jumping on beds and stuff like that. But
this isn't big, all right?
The guy, yeah. The 5-year-old is better at sex than I am. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
And he didn't even apologize once, let alone 5 times during
I also wrote down a line, Jeff Goldblum will agree to be in anything, until I found out that these were just deleted scenes from the first fly that they just were like, got the okay from him to like just put into the movie. Because I was like, man, Jeff Goldblum will literally just say yes to any movie, won't he? The other fact that I learned about this movie that's crazy is that Sam Raimi was originally hired to direct it, but they fired him because he was trying to make the movie too wacky, which is exactly what this movie needed. Like, this movie needed wackiness.
Mm-hmm. You guys will see next week, we have a movie that did it right. They made it super wacky.
Was this worse or better for you than Ice Cream Man, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, you guys, it sounds like you guys are coming down hard on Fly 2, but I'm going to be honest. I didn't think Fly 2 was that bad because, yeah, first of all, My first appearance on Horror Movie Night was Ice Cream Man, which was just the worst. But also, when Matt came out here and we were filming episodes of One Hit Thunder, we watched some riff tracks. And so I kind of fell into the riff tracks world and Mystery Science world for a while. So I'm really recently been watching like the worst of the worst movies. So it really, on a scale, like it Fly 2's definitely a step up. And I feel like every time you guys have me on, eventually we're going to be watching like The Exorcist or something. Or
I promise you that's not ever happening.
I noticed that you guys didn't do Midsummer yet, which is my favorite movie of the year. So you know, I don't know. Maybe I can do that one or something.
I think you're grossly underestimating what we do on this show. That we don't do good movies. We just get joy out of mediocre films.
Well, you did. I also listened to you guys did Hereditary.
Oh, those are in theaters now.
That's a whole different thing.
Those don't count.
Those don't count as movies. So I will say that like one of the reasons why I picked The Fly 2 is that I don't think it's a good movie, but I think for a long time, this was like on the lists of like worst horror sequels of all time. And I really don't think it's that bad.
No, like, it isn't that bad, man. Like, it wasn't good, but geez, it wasn't that bad. I imagine Fangoria magazine had a good time featuring this movie. It was gross.
Yeah, this is a pretty gross movie.
So they actually, this was the other big thing that I learned while doing some research on like the trivia, is that towards the end of the movie, there's a head smash in the elevator shaft that got this movie an X rating. And the compromise that they came up with was that they could keep it in there, but that theaters had to have emergency personnel on standby in case anyone reacted negatively to the head explosion.
they had a face melting.
Dude, the face melting is fantastic.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's like its jaw is still going, and he's still breathing, which is horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I love the look of the fly in this. I think it's a cooler looking fly than the Cronenberg one. I know that's crazy to say.
No, I agree.
Like, I like the weird, like, it's got like a humanish face going on, which I think is really, really gnarly. Like, I think that the last 15 minutes of this movie really makes the movie for me, because it is a very slow build up to it. But we do get some really fucked up stuff happening with a dog that is worth talking about. That dog puppet is like so effectively depressing to look at. Like,
it
does a really good job of just making you real. Like, it puts the hate that you need to have for the head scientist in there very quickly.
Yeah. Bartok is goddamn. Like, I knew. So this was the first. Well, I'm assuming this is the first watch for all of us except for you, Matt, right?
Probably, yeah.
Brian?
No, I never saw this.
Okay. Yeah, this was my first time watching it as well. And I thought that I was ready for the dog scene. I wasn't ready for the dog scene.
Well, it was a scene where it was putting the dog out of its misery, so they didn't have to have it whimper and cry the entire time. That really made it worse.
I think that's the whole point, though. I mean, that's what's so funny is we're like, we can watch people get murdered and decapitated and we laugh with glee. But then if the hair of one dog's skull is not, you know, is out of place, we're like, fuck this movie. It's the worst.
That's why I hate this movie. And there's like a 3-second max for me.
That was a good 2 minutes there, man.
Exactly. It's like, all right, dog's dead. Okay, all right, we're moving on. But it's like, hey, you see this dog? Watch it. Are you watching? Are you watching? He's dying. You're still watching? You're still with us? The dog's still dying. It's just mean. I don't like it. There's plenty of children you could kill. An abundance of them.
Jeez, I don't even know how to bounce from that. But yeah, like, it's just the special. It definitely is a movie that screams directed by a guy who did special effects. Like, yeah. And he did, like, I was looking at some of his other credentials of like what he had done previously, and he did like some special effects for the movie Naked Lunch.
Ooh, nice.
Hot Shots.
Part 2?
Just the original. He designed a creature for Curse 3 Blood Sacrifice, which was like the only highlight of that movie. He did
How pissed do you think he was when they used it for like 10 seconds?
He created the Gremlins. He created the spiders for Arachnophobia. He was part of the creature design for Return of the Jedi.
Wow.
So like, his first couple movies were Piranha, Up from the Depths, and Humanoids from the Deep. So,
oh man, my dude.
Ooh, this is the weirdest credit I've seen in a while. In the movie Dragon Slayer, he's credited for the close-up of the dragon effect.
Dude,
so not
hell
the full
yeah.
dragon, just the close-up of it.
Dude, do you know how much I love Dragon Slayer?
No, because I've never heard you talk about it.
Well, it doesn't really come up like with Horror Movie Night, but man, Dragon Slayer is one of my favorites from the 80s. I would love to dig into his biography and see what he did for Return of the Jedi, because that is my favorite Star Wars movie.
I'm going to assume Rancor. I think.
Oh my god!
That's my guess. Yeah, like the other effects that he did, it just feels like that fits.
Yeah.
His like style.
He's really big on like crazy mandibles, which is definitely the Rancor.
Well, and that's what I was gonna say. Like the way that the fly's mouth is in general is fucking gnarly. It's very like Predator-esque in the way it's.
Oh, because it breaks in the middle. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
But yeah, like I just wish this is the longest fly movie ever made. And it definitely could use like 20 minutes trimmed out of it, like real easy. Like, I don't think I needed to go through the entire journey of Martin and like in this lab. Like, I feel like you could speed up pieces of this. And I'm sure, knowing the way that you watch movies, Scott, that you did.
I did not. Well, I didn't, because
this
was
in speed. This whole thing ran so fast.
No. Well, so we watched this on a weirdo, some website. I don't even remember what it was.
Well, and the first website went down which I found out from. You know, I sent the link to Chris, and Chris was like, yo, that link don't work no more.
Yeah, by the way, how many viruses did I get on my computer watching this movie? It was like pop up after pop up after pop up. Every time I paused it, there was something popped up. It's like, okay, whatever. I'll just go with
it. We don't normally do it like that. This was definitely because we picked something that Matt picked. Blame Matt. Matt picked something that was just a little bit difficult to find on any streaming site.
So here's the thing that happened. Is this is kind of a slight promotional tie-in. Scream Factory, my favorite DVD company, just put out a giant box set of all five Fly movies.
There's five of these?
So it's the original, it's the 50s ones and the 80s ones in one box. Oh, okay. So it's like the Vincent Price Fly movies, those three, and then the Cronenberg in this one.
Gotcha.
So I think as soon as that Blu-ray set came out, like a week ago, they just combed through the internet to make sure that they pulled down as much of it as they could.
I love you, Scream Factory, but that was cold shit.
You want to see the Fly 2? You better pay. Like, I think Scream or Shout Factory has like their own streaming service now to everyone.
Oh, okay. Shit.
Because they own all of the Mystery Science Theater 3000 stuff. Mm. So they have kept alive the Sci-Fi Network's like Thanksgiving marathon, where if you're on the Shout Factory streaming service, they just stream random episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000 from midnight to midnight on Thanksgiving.
Oh. So.
Tip there for any MSTK3 fans.
It took you longer to abbreviate it than it does to just say it. Just say it.
Yeah. Mr. Science Theater 2000 fans.
Can we talk about one thing here? In the middle of this movie, they go and they see the guy from the first one who Brundlefly spit up on and took his hand.
The only actor. So this was the other weird fact. He only agreed to do this scene if he could add some nuance to the character, and his idea of adding nuance is that he came up with the line, "Don't sit in that chair."
That?
that's all it took to get him to agree to be in the movie, I guess.
Weird, because what I thought you were going to say was he came up with the line, "He destroyed my hand and foot with bug vomit. He bugged me."
I hated that. That pissed me off.
I love that you have such a visceral reaction to this film. I'm glad it's your brother's pick, not my pick, because I just can't stand it when Brian doesn't like my picks or doesn't fucking watch them.
That was one time. And just so Chris knows, I love really bad movies and really good movies. So when I'm negative, it's not like I think this is the worst movie I've ever seen. It's just too average for me to enjoy.
I got you. I Matt kind of answered my question. One of the things that I wanted to ask is why it seemed like, you know, the special effects are pretty elaborate and gross. But it was like they spent all the time on the special effects, but no time on the script or the dialogue or it's just that so average.
Yeah.
It wasn't like so bad that it was good. And it was just whatever. But there was a character I wanted to talk about to you guys who I just want to know his story of why he's so angry is the guard who's just an asshole the whole time. The guy who's like, "Oh, I see you got a little fucking girlfriend, huh? Oh, she got a nice ass." And you're like, "What? Why? Why are you such an asshole? Like, what is your backstory?" I would love the Fly backstory on this guy, why he's so mad.
I hate to break it to you, Chris, but there is none because they didn't write one.
Right. It's just the most one-dimensional characters imaginable.
They just needed a bad guy. So that guy's great, though, because his death was really satisfying for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved watching him die. I didn't love watching a dog die, but I loved watching him die. But the thing I gotta admit about this movie is that the pacing. So I didn't Scott Roger it. I watched it at 1x the whole time, and that was completely due to the fact that the website made it impossible to fast forward. But the pacing was slow, but I didn't hate the pacing. I wouldn't rewatch this movie at 1x. I'd probably just skip through for the gore parts, but. I mean, Eric Stoltz is not a bad actor.
Do you want to know who almost had that role, though? Because there's three people that were in the running that are all would have been wildly different movies.
Michael J. Fox?
No, never again for him. No, Keanu Reeves was up for it. Josh Brolin.
Whoa.
And shit. And in a competitor for my favorite pointless trivia I've ever seen on IMDb, Vincent D'Onofrio. This is exactly how it's worded on the trivia. Vincent D'Onofrio was the first choice for the role of Martin Brundle and was nearly cast for the part, but his screen testing didn't go well. He was born the same year that Return of the Fly was released, and he has the same first name as Vincent Price, who appeared in The Fly.
Who wrote that shit was probably like, oh yeah, I'm going to get so much internet karma for this.
Man, Eric Stoltz can feel pretty good about the fact that he was the fourth choice behind those behind those three guys. Jeez.
Man, poor Eric Stoltz. Like, I just, dude got shit from Hollywood, man.
Well, to be fair, he also apparently got so into character that he would only respond to the name Martin on and off set. So you started doing method acting for fucking Fly 2.
Wow. I respect that, actually.
I do, too. I don't hate it.
No.
I also like this piece of trivia that just says David Cronenberg disliked the movie.
No shit. How pissed do you think David Cronenberg was that they were like, we're going to do a sequel to your movie? You're not invited.
Yeah. He goes, you mean the movie that I made that's kind of like a weird... a metaphor for drug addiction and or HIV. And they're like, yeah, but this time it's just a weird kid.
How you like that? That's Hollywood.
We found the drug stuff was too depressing.
So we killed a dog. No. This is the thing. I'm a sucker for a part of this movie. And it's the part where the hideous monster man isn't deserted by his hot brunette girlfriend. I don't know why, guys. Like, I truly, I've searched the darkest corners of my soul, and I don't know why such a thing would be an important
thing to you.
Yeah, I really definitely has no bearing on my real life or anything like that.
I like that they do something that you almost never see in a horror movie like this, but like it kind of has a happy ending. Like the ending is fucking wild.
I almost feel bad for Bartok when he Bartok Fly because he's just like,
yeah, he just looks like the dude in RoboCop when the acid spills on him. Like it's a bit, but like. It's apparently there was another ending shot, but everyone said it was too hokey, so they added in the Bartok ending. The original ending was just that they're having dinner, and she's like, hey, you feel normal? And he's like, yeah, I feel normal, finally. And then, like, a fly is just, like, flying near his plate. And I was like, yeah, that sucks. That's a terrible ending. Show me Bartok chained up in a pit. Like, that's a much more satisfying ending.
Who thought that, you know, yeah, the mutant Bartok crawling out and then a fly landing, and then zooming.
That's
in on
not
the
clever.
Fly. Who thought that was clever? Who thought, like, oh man, I got it. I
a
got
special
the final
effects
shot.
Artist. That's who.
Yeah.
That whole ending. I think it's just that I like that he's this hideous mutant fly, but like he's still definitely Martin in there. Like
because he pets the dog.
Yeah, like he's retained all of his like normal humanity. He's just a mutant. And he's going to kill everybody that's wronged him. But he's like, it's very like, there's no one who dies during that massacre where it's not like a justifiable, like, yeah, makes sense why Martin would kill that one. Like, he's not just like killing anybody.
No, I agree. And the best part about that when Brundlefly 2 is walking around stalking people is that dog, they have this monstrous Doberman Pinscher, right? That's a Doberman.
Yeah.
Or it's like some sort of Doberman lab mix. It's like a guard dog, you know? You can tell that little puppo had no desire to be pet by a prosthetic bug arm.
Steady. But yeah, I mean, like I said, the movie's fine. It could definitely be shorter because it's all about the last 15 minutes.
Hell
like,
yeah.
It is all about, like, I'm going to show off all of the gnarly gore that I've been saving. But I don't hate it. I like The Fly 2. I definitely don't think it's the best Fly movie, but it's definitely not like the worst sequel of all time. Like I constantly see it put on lists as, which is, again, why I picked it.
Yeah. And also, I mean, who the fuck is making those lists? Because, like, if it's critics, fuck critics. We hate critics on this show because
it's usually any clickbaity website around Halloween time.
Yeah. Oh man, can I tell you guys a real quick aside about at the end of the year, I always go back through. I read a bunch of lists like that shit to try and find out if there are any horror movies that kind of flew under the radar that I need to check out. And I was reading one, and it was like, here are some horror movies that you might have missed in 2019. And none of them were horror movies. They're all like dramas.
That, speaking of that, I actually, one thing I was going to bring up to you guys is this is kind of not a horror. It's more, isn't this more of a sci-fi movie?
Yeah, this is sci-fi is acceptable on here when there's like head explosions.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Like I'm not worried. Like I feel like with horror movies, a lot of times what makes them horror to me, this is just me talking about myself, but is that, oh shit, that could happen to me. But I don't think that I'm going to,
you don't think you're going to turn into a fly.
I don't. And I don't think I'm going to be around anyone who's being turned into a fly. And I don't think I'm going to, like you were saying, no one died unjustifiably minus the dog in this movie. So I'm also not going to fuck with somebody who got turned into a fly or be an asshole. I'll probably be really nice to them because obviously if you're
nice
to them,
everybody. So that doesn't even count.
Well, that's nice of you to say.
No, you're one of the nicest guys in rock music. Oh. So let's dive into our double features. Chris, you're our guest. I'm gonna hand my pick first over to you. What is your double feature with The Fly 2?
I mean, we're going straight gore, and okay, no one could say The Fly, right? Because first of all,
whatever the hell you want.
Well, first of all, if you watch The Fly and then you watch this, your night's just gonna get progressively worse. So you can't do that. So I don't know. I don't know if this is like a stock answer among you guys, but like Dead Alive. If we're going gore, right?
That's,
I mean,
that's a solid choice. It's got more humor too, so right. That's better.
It's way more wild. That's less wild than my pick, which is that I, at some point in the last like 5 minutes of this movie, was like, I kind of want to watch Jurassic Park.
And you know what it is? It's the fucking the fly's feet. When they have this scene where it's just the feet walking, which of course the special effects geek in me was like, okay, how did they do that? Was there somebody wearing those, or was that like them just like clomping them down? But it looked like the velociraptors walking.
Yeah, there's just like random moments where I'm like, this reminds me of Jurassic Park. And then he's like looking in the vents, and I'm like, oh man, that scene where they're hiding in the vents from the velociraptors is fucking dope.
Oh, and also, you know, Jeff Goldblum's in
Jurassic Park. Yeah, and Jeff Goldblum, yeah. So I'm going to go with the Jurassic Park is the follow-up to The Fly 2.
Nice.
All right, Scott or Brian?
I'm going to let Brian go first because I don't know if he's going to pick this.
I am going to do a Scott favorite, The Kindred.
Ooh!
I think The Kindred would save the night 100%.
Hell yeah. That is awesome because my double feature is a Brian Kelly favorite, Extro.
Oh, got the poster right next to me. Christmas present from old Matt.
Scott, you'll know the answer to this more than I will. But the other thing that I was thinking about maybe picking was Spawn, because The Fly reminds me of the one giant monster that Spawn
has. Oh, the Malbolgia.
Yeah, that thing.
Wow, is that what you were asking, if I knew the name of the creature?
Yeah, and you stepped up with your geekiness and proved me right.
Dude, you know what, like, I gotta tell you, I was talking to someone the other day and just kind of letting my nerd flag fly. No big deal. Wasn't thinking too much about it. And they called me out and I'm like, listen, you're named after a comic book character. Fuck off.
What have you guys been watching that you want to give a little bit of a, hey, check it out to? Again, Chris, we'll let you go first.
Or listening to, whatever you feel like.
I sit by myself on the couch, and this is such a dumb answer to this, but the one thing that makes me laugh out loud when I'm sitting by myself is watching Billy on the Street. Do you guys ever watch Billy on the Street?
Dude, my fiance wouldn't watch it with me. She laughed for 5 minutes, like, this is old now, and I have binge watched it. I find it so entertaining.
Dude, I don't know. I just, something about it. Yeah, and some people, like, I was watching with friends last night. I have one friend who doesn't think it's that funny, and I'm like, this is so funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just seeing people's reaction to For a Dollar, running up to people, just... For a dollar. He said something so funny last night. Anyway, yeah, I picked Billy on the Street.
And Brian, side note, I almost forgot to mention this. Chris, when I hung out with Chris, was telling me all about how he loves I Think You Should Leave. And all I could do is think of you as the person who also I know loves that show.
Oh, man, it is the funniest sketch show that we have had in well over a decade.
It gets funnier every time you watch it.
Every time. I think... I've watched it like 4 times, and the skit that went under the radar for me the first time, and I think it might be the funniest skit, is when they're in the record studio.
That's the
recording the song.
Yeah, man. He showed me. He's like, you got to watch this. This is the greatest skit of all time.
Bones are their money.
Yeah. I'm not exaggerating when I think that might be the funniest skit of all time. Like, that is just, that checks every box for me. It's like recording humor. And then, I don't know if I've ever laughed harder than the first time I watched that.
It has the greatest line, which is, we really liked what Bill was singing. Bill me or Bill him? Is your name Bill too? No, that's why I'm so fucking confused.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So for me, we're going to go in a completely different direction. I had a little, in theaters now, true story double feature, and checked out both Bombshell and Richard Jewell. I think Bombshell is a better made movie. I think Richard Jewell is a better acted movie. But both are definitely good, but both could probably also wait until they're available online somewhere. I enjoyed but didn't love both.
He actually just reminded me of one because I didn't know what to bring up because I was late to the party with Ready or Not. We already talked about Mandalorian, but I was surprised. Jade really on Christmas night, she's been wanting to watch Good Boys, and like it looked to me. But we ended up renting it, and I enjoyed it. I was shocked at how I don't know if Matt saw it, but I could see Matt getting emotional towards the end.
I liked it. I think that the trailer really fucked up the movie a lot because they just when you go to the movies as much as I do, you see the same trailer a lot. Uh-huh. And it was just one of those man, they showed way too much of the end of this movie in those trailers.
Yeah. But I think the reason that I loved it was Will Forte's plays the one kid's dad. And he can do no wrong in my eyes. Like he could be in a he can be in a bad movie, but whatever he's doing will make me laugh.
He's so awesome. Yeah. He is so awesome.
Like there's that one movie that's a big flop and like I don't go back to watch it, but he still entertained me. It was what the hell was it? Where they try to have a baby.
Oh, Brother Solomon.
Brother Solomon. Like that movie is hated and I was entertained just because I love the two of them. They both can't do wrong in my eyes.
Yeah, Will Arnett and Will Forte twin brothers. All right, Scott, take us home.
We rewatched Bohemian Rhapsody and I just love it. I love it so much. Rocket Man is a better movie, but I think that Bohemian Rhapsody is more for me because
it just makes you want to listen to Queen. Like as soon as it's over, you're like, I just want to listen to more Queen in my life right now.
Yeah. Actually, as we were watching it, cause like we bought it, when it first came out on streaming or whatever. And, we're rewatching it the other day and I turned to Megan and I go, so what Queen records are we missing? Like actual records, because we don't collect like a whole lot of pop music. We have like a lot of weird stuff and I have all my horror vinyl, but I was like, what are we missing? And so we made a list and we're like, okay, well that's what we have to buy now. So we're gonna have to do a little shopping to find some copies of that stuff, but we have all but three, I think. I mean, maybe four, but it's like three of the last three records.
I was gonna say it's probably the later stuff that isn't as like heavy with the hits as,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Because like those 70s and 80s records, like primo.
And they're also really easy to find at estate sales. So that's a lot of times where we find them. But yeah, finding the later shit, people weren't really buying. The people buying CDs, you know, but we need to have we need to be completists for this at least. But so that was really great. And I wanted to mention that my family does know me pretty well because for Christmas, Megan got me a book called Hex Life, which is all short stories about witches and witchcraft. And then my sister and her significant other got me a book on demonology. Ooh. And another book called The Devil's Plants, which is about the demonology is a Christian treatise on demons from like the 1500s that's been reprinted. And then The Devil's Plants is about plants that were thought to be evil in the Middle Ages. So yeah, people know me pretty fucking well. which, just a little side note, for 2020, I have my musical plans, and one of them that I really want, my stretch goal, is to do another fake horror movie soundtrack, but it's going to be about witches.
All right. Ooh. Well, earlier you talked about Queen, a band that decidedly will never be on One Hit Thunder. So thank you so much, Chris, for joining us on this week's episode of Horror Movie Night, talking about The Fly 2 from 1989. If you hop over to the Patreon, patreon.com/HMN podcast, and you just can't get enough of Chris, we're going to have just a, I'm springing this on him right now. We're going to have just a quick, like, 10-minute conversation just about music with Chris and what brought him into to doing music and his ska phase and all of that other great
ska
jazz
phase.
Yeah. So tune into that. That's sitting on the Patreon as you're listening to this episode right now. And we'll be back next week with another movie from 1989 about science gone wrong, but with about a tenth of the budget. So tune in.
Listening to the Geekscape Network.